strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care. Thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line. Pitch to Fitz, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown of the win.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the perfect beer for living life by your own playbook.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
If you're Dale Buchanan, you crush people. It's what you do.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
We're ready to go out there and hit them every play.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury.
You know, well, sometimes it's better to remind you what not to say.
No.
Then to go ahead and give you a friendly reminder on what you should be talking about.
Okay, what shouldn't I say, Paulie?
Here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, it is the Decision Maker Edition. We'll get to that momentarily.
Okay.
Please, under no circumstances, use the word off-season. It's just not applicable. I mean, we are absolutely loaded like a freight train, loaded like your coffee cup right now. I mean, this thing is ready to go. Are you kidding me? There might be more going on here in May than some weeks of the regular season. I mean, think about it. We're coming off the draft. We had the rookie camp.
Yes.
You got undrafted guys getting signed. You had guys getting cut. We have OTAs and minicamp right yes. around the corner. We have the team president, Michael Bidwell, straight ahead.
Ding.
Adrian Wilson is going to join us.
Ding.
And what does Adrian Wilson have on the resume most recently?
Let's see. Ring of Honor, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there
right
you
there?
Go, Wolf. Okay. That is foreshadowing because
as I play along.
Roy Green is going to join us. And what is his recent honor? As of today, what is official?
Ring of Honor for Roy Green. Oh. The Jets stream right there. You know what, Paulie? I am jacked up right now. Not only do we have a full show, of course, just slated and filled up, but also the fact that OTAs are coming up right around the corner. Here they come. You know the OTAs are coming right now. It used to be my belief. You know this. I've talked to you about this many times. But I never believed that a team could actually get better in OTAs, right? Because you're not playing the game of football. You don't have the mouth guard in. You don't have the buckles on. You're not hitting anybody. How in the world could you actually get better? And then Steve Breaston came running. Do you remember Steve Breaston?
Oh, yes. There, the receiver and return man.
Steve Breaston got so much better in the OTAs, and it showed up on the field. And the Arizona Cardinals, they went to the Super Bowl because it showed up on the field with Steve Breaston, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, and the Quan.
Can I just share that 3 years ago, I think we were 2 days into OTAs, and already the veterans were talking about there's something special happening on that field. And it was Tyrann Mathieu.
Mm-hmm.
A year after that, guys were buzzing about John Brown.
Yes.
And then last season, we were 2 days in OTAs, and already guys are saying, you know what? The third rounder this year, David Johnson, he might be special.
Who's that kid from Northern Iowa?
I mean, players know players. That's something I've learned as the sideline pencil neck media guy.
Really?
If you want to know about players,
right.
Ask another player.
Interesting.
They just know it. They can sense it. They're out there on the field. They know who can play the game and who can't.
You going to put that on a t-shirt, Paul?
I don't know. Maybe
players
I should.
Know players.
You know, Wolf, you have all these grandiose plans to start all these websites, rating personnel. I'm going to go with playersknowplayers.com.
Okay,
that's what I'm going to go with.
You go with that. I'm going with Black Flag Player.
I see. I'm going to bring in all these former players. I'm going to get their assessments of players and go from there.
Okay, great. Yep. Big show, Paul. Yep. Jacked up today.
Oh
have
God,
another cup.
I tell you, there is a vibe. There is a buzz. If you talk to the players, if you talk to the coaches, there is something different this offseason. I don't know if it's quiet confidence. I don't know if it's coming off this draft where they infused even more talent. The acquisition of a Chandler Jones
yes.
or Robert Kimdichie. There's just this vibe, this underlying current of confidence, if you will, that is in the facility.
Yes.
What does that mean in the regular season? I have no idea. That's why we're going to bring on team president Michael Bidwell. We're going to ask about how about drafting?
Yes.
Maybe the most controversial, polarizing player in the draft.
Without a doubt, Paulie.
And maybe the most talented player in the draft.
Ding.
Okay, that, Michael Bidwell, we had Adrian Wilson, and Roy Green all straight ahead. We're just getting started on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
excited to introduce our new addition, the 29th pick, Robert Kimdichie.
I'd like to thank Mr. Bidwell, you know, Steve, Coach Aarons, everybody that's, you know, helped get me here and gave me this great opportunity. I can't wait to give back and make the most of it, and I'm so excited. I'm stoked to be an Arizona Cardinal.
So if we're wondering why the Cardinals felt comfortable drafting Robert Kimdichie, number 29 overall, how it came to be, Wolf, and what went into the process, well, that's why we're calling this the Decision Maker Edition of the Big Red Rage, as we welcome in the team president, Michael Bidwell, who you've been keeping busy. Not only all that, but now you signed every one of your rookies to contracts already. Is that a new record?
It's got to be. I think I know they move quickly under this new collective bargaining agreement, which actually isn't that new. I think we're about 5 years into it. Mm-hmm. And this system is working much better for the teams, for the players themselves, and for the focus of the overall organization. So it's been pretty quick, you know, that things fall together quickly, and then we can get right to business.
Michael, I know that there was a lot of conversation in regard to Robert Kimdichie about football character and maybe off the field character. Talk a little bit about the vetting process and what you guys did to vet Robert Kimdichie.
Well, obviously we did all the things that we would do with any football player, checking out all of the football elements. But when it came down to it, we tried to collect as much information from law enforcement, from his school, from anybody, other sources at school. And then, of course, at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, each team got 15 minutes with him. Mm-hmm. And it's like speed dating in the NFL. By the time he got to us, you know, he'd been asked a question and answered it so many times. You know, I still wasn't clear on whether I was comfortable or not. And it was just a feeling I had, you know, that we needed to ask more questions. So we had him in on a visit, and he came to the training facility. I was actually out of town. I was at a league meeting. But he came to the facility, and he spent time with all of our coaches and with Steve and his staff and with Tyrann Mathieu. Mm. And so we had some of the players in the locker room whose opinions we trust, other defensive players as well. But Ty, especially because of his experience, we wanted him to spend some time with him and to have Robert see what success looks like if you really stay focused mm-hmm. in the off-field. So I had missed that, and it was very important to me that I get the final sign-off on Robert. So the Monday of the draft, Steve Keim and I flew to L.A., and we met with Robert at the airport. And we spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I wasn't keeping a stopwatch there, but it felt like a couple of hours. We asked a lot of questions, and I got very comfortable that he absolutely wants to stay focused on football, leave some of the things that were mistakes in his past, and learn some of the lessons that Tyrann did, and stay completely focused. And I believe him. You know, ultimately, it's up to him. It's up to the player. It's not up to me. It's not a static situation. It's, you know, is he going to stick with this? And I believe he will mm-hmm. going forward. And, you know, we've made these judgments before, obviously.
Because you're not just drafting a player. You're drafting the person. And the interviews are critical. And that's where your background as a prosecutor, as a lawyer comes in?
Yeah, it's sizing up people's credibility and their how earnest they are and whether you believe that they're determined and believable. And so you dig down in some of those questions. And as I've mentioned to you, you know, about 85% of what you communicate is nonverbal. So I'm looking at the nonverbal cues while I'm hearing what he has to say.
Can you give us an example? I mean, just
well, you
I
can't
know
read.
About you, Paul.
I'm taking
you
notes because I'm going to assess Wolf during these shows going forward.
Well, you guys know some of the cues, but I would say it's not that you can read somebody's mind, but you can tell when somebody's getting nervous,
yes.
when they're not comfortable, or maybe when they're straight out not comfortable with what's coming out of their mouth. And maybe they're being dishonest at that point. Mm-hmm. And those cues come in many ways, facial expressions, where you're looking, what you're doing with your hands, what's going on with your facial color and everything else. So there's
Mind
lots going on
over there,
yeah,
Paul.
So
right?
you guys,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
What did you learn about Robert Kimdichie? Was there a certain takeaway or two that we would find intriguing? Or ultimately, what did you discover about your first round draft pick?
I think he wants to play football because he wants to be great, and he wants to be great for a long time. He wants to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He wants to be known as one of the best defensive linemen. He knows he's got tremendous talent, and this is a tremendous opportunity. He wants to make his family proud. He wants to make his friends proud. He wants to make kids proud. He understands that parents buy jerseys of players they admire, and he wants to be an admired player, like many of our players are the most admired in the league. And so he understands that, and he also understands it's just not for the kids of America, but it's for the kids of Nigeria, because he knows that he's being being followed by kids back in Nigeria that have dreams, and he knows that a lot of pressure is on him to make sure he gets it right to give those kids inspiration.
So when the draft is over, Michael, what do you do now? What do you focus on?
What do I do in the offseason?
I mean, exactly. Like right now, when the draft is over, what's on your agenda?
Well, we've got quite a few business things going on. There are league meetings. We're considering proposals that are coming up. I was on a conference call this morning. There are other non-football team-related business things that I'm working on around some of our other businesses. And then continuing to make sure that all the decisions around here, we make sure are focused on building a great organization. Even though we're 13-3, we're not taking our foot off the gas. We got our foot firmly on the floor. Every decision we want to do is to win Super Bowl 51 and continue to make this an organization that is extremely solid. And there are always things every year you can do to get better. And so I'm doing those things. I'm trying to make sure that we're doing all those things. And we're continuing to look at investments in the stadium and in the game day atmosphere. We're always in sales mode, so we're selling our whole organization. Obviously, the highest profile members of our organization are the coaches and the players on the field, but there are another 150 people here that are helping keep that stadium sold out, keep it an exciting place to come and watch a game, and making sure that we're doing all the things that we can do to support the football side.
We have team president Michael Bidwell on the Big Red Rage. The visibility is unprecedented in a lot of ways, from the primetime games and the schedule, 5 in the first 7 weeks or so, and then you have number one in the power poll, according to USA Today. Do you like that?
Well, we don't like to pay attention to power polls around here, but it's hard not to notice when you're number one, and that was pretty cool to see. But this doesn't win a football game for you in the fall, and it's fun to talk about, but we cannot take our eye off the ball, which is making sure that we do everything we do now during phase two, that we make sure that we're investing in the long term, including contracts and things like that of some of our veterans. I'm sure I'll be asked about that in a little bit. And that we're trying to keep our eye on building a strong organization both on the field and off the field.
Well, it sure beats the alternative, doesn't it?
No question.
Better than number 32 on the power poll. Number one, we'll take that.
We're presuming that the Robert Kimdichie draft pick doesn't happen without the success of a Tyrann Mathieu. How about going forward now? Tyrann Mathieu remaining a Cardinal for many years to come. Where does that stand?
We want to keep him as a Cardinal. We're going to be sitting down and talking with him. I know that Steve and I have spoken in the last day or so about some of those matters, and so he'll be taking it from there. You know, we don't negotiate in the media or anything like that, but that is our intent. And, you know, it's an interesting negotiation because of his injury history, but we also know he's very good, and we have faith that he's going to bounce back from this. So there are a lot of things to balance. It's complicated, but I think in the end we'll get it done. We want to see him remain a Cardinal.
You know, we've heard both B.A. and Steve Keim say he could be a future face of this franchise. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think we have many future faces because, you know, it's just not one player. We have many players today that are current faces. Mm-hmm. That's just not one. There are many, and I think he's one of those many and deserving of it. He has done a terrific job on the field, off the field. He's given us, his example, you mentioned it, Paul. We've got the infrastructure here. We've got the structure and the leadership and the commitment to give somebody like Robert every opportunity to get it right as he comes into the NFL. And that was a big part of the reason why we felt comfortable drafting him.
By the way, that flight on the Monday to L.A. before the draft, I heard, was quite an adventure for one Steve Keim, who's not a licensed pilot like you and may not have been used to the weather.
It was a little bumpy, but it was all good.
We got there safely. That's solid. All right, look, when we come back, all right, no big deal, just a Ring of Honor announcement and a groundbreaking happening that's going to keep fans buzzing all summer. Yes, the Decision Maker edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford when we come back.
Second down and goal at the 5. They can win it with a touchdown. Snap to Palmer, rolls out, and it's a pitch to Fitz running straight ahead into the end zone. The shovel pass for the touchdown and the win. The Cardinals advance to the NFC Championship game on a shovel pass of all things in one of the craziest games ever. Cardinals win it in overtime, 26-20.
Put your hands in the air and step away from the football. Larry Fitzgerald on the shuttle pass. What an incredible call by Bruce Arians.
Win number 14 in the 2015 season, and Talk about a big finish for the Big Red. The Green Bay playoff win in overtime. And you know what? If nothing else, guys, and welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfe, team president Michael Bidwell on this decision maker edition of the Big Red Rage, bolstering the reputation of the University of Phoenix Stadium for prime time drama. And then after the season, we learn it was all documented and will be showcased on Amazon Video. Do tell over there, Michael.
Well, that was a great game, a great finish. That was unbelievable. And exciting for all the fans that were in the stadium, of course, the ones that watched on television. But it was documented about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. We invited NFL Films in, and we embedded them into everything we do here at the Cardinals. And we really didn't tell a lot of people that we did it. We just did it. There were just a handful of us that knew, and some of us were wired up. Then we started wiring up players. They just knew that there was an extra film crew around and that they were with NFL and that we were documenting the season. But it's the first time in the history of the NFL that a team has documented its entire season. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be the first. We brought the idea to NFL Films. It was something that we developed and brought to them. And it really tells our story. So NFL Films has produced an 8 1-hour documentary series that will be broadcast on Amazon. It's going to come out this summer. I can tell you I've been back to see some of the production at NFL Films outside of Philadelphia, and they are doing a terrific job on it. They've produced their own music score for it. They're going to have a professional, you know, A-lister voiceover. It's going to be really, really solid. And I think they're going to dump it all at once to where, you know, people get a
binge watch.
Wow. And you guys, you know, if you were out at the draft party, hopefully all the fans were.
Man, the fans reacted.
Yeah, there was a three-minute trailer that ran previewing it, and people went nuts. And we got a chance to show it at our party the other night, our staff party, and everybody went nuts. And we couldn't be more excited about this because this summer, I mean, right now, everybody is jonesing for football, mm-hmm. okay? And not phase two football, but real football. And so what we think is this is going to give a chance to really tell our story, tell all the great stories of the players, players taking their helmets off and bringing the cameras home and getting a chance to get to know these guys as men and as husbands, as fathers, as great guys. And we know them all, mm-hmm. but to have the fans see that and to see some of the work that goes on during the week and how hard these players and coaches work during the week and tell some of those great stories. And we had some great stories on the field, including Green Bay, you know, versus Green Bay in the playoffs. It was a fantastic season, and we're so glad that we got a chance to document it. And it's going to come out this summer, and we're excited to hear fans' reactions.
You know, Michael, it may seem a little odd, but I'm curious as to wondering why it was such a secret and why it was you didn't want anyone else to know. Was there a chance that you would have said at the end of the year, sorry, guys, we're not going to do this?
Well, we, you know, it started out as something that was an idea. We wanted to see how it went. And then as it kept growing, it was like, let's just not let the players get distracted with what this could turn into. Let's keep our focus on winning football games. I think it was the right decision. It wasn't necessarily a secret because we wanted to keep a big secret. It was just keep the focus of the organization mm-hmm. on winning football games and not get distracted with the cameras and, you know, having people say things just to say things. You know,
exactly.
It's very authentic what you're going to see.
Well, fans want all access, and they're going to get it.
Right. And there's going to be a PG version in which people can sit down with their kids and actually watch it. There might be a little cussing in the non-PG version.
Oh, you're saying BA was in it?
So the owners' meetings are later this month. What's on the radar? What can you share with us?
In May, traditionally, we make the decisions on Super Bowl. We didn't make it last year, so we've deferred a couple. And so this year, I believe we're going to be making a decision on the next three Super Bowls after Minneapolis, I believe. And so you've got a new stadium in Atlanta. You've got new stadium or renovation going on down in Miami. Got a new stadium coming on in L.A. And we have a history of awarding Super Bowls to communities that have mm-hmm. built new stadiums. So we're excited about some of those new cities, and it also gives Arizona a little bit of time to, you know, figure out, okay, when's our best chance to go put in for another bid.
Michael, might you guys actually have a conversation about Las Vegas, Nevada, and a possible Raiders move?
I believe we will get an update because there's been a lot of activity. We've all been reading about it. Las Vegas is a different kind of town. It's got an industry there that we've traditionally had sort of a Chinese wall with, and so it may be a little bit more complicated than the mm-hmm. traditional relocation and stadium construction. So I'm certain that there's going to be a lot of dialogue about that, but I'm anxious and hopeful that the Raiders can get a new home, because that stadium in Oakland is just insufficient. I don't think the elected officials have been able to do as much as they should be doing in that community to solve that problem, and I'm hopeful the Raiders can get a new building done.
There's going to be a new name going up on the stadium that is University of Phoenix Stadium in the Ring of Honor, Roy Green. It is official, and what an announcement earlier today about Roy Green being honored by the organization, and I know he's one of your all-time favorites.
He is the best. I'm a big fan of Roy, and he, we drafted him in 1979 at a little school called Henderson State as a corner. And
I still don't know where that is.
It's in Arkansas, I believe.
Okay.
And he ends up returning, and then we put him in at receiver, and he plays three ways for a little bit, and then switched over to receiver. And he was a big part of our offense for many, many years, especially that run we were having in 1988 and beat San Francisco when San Francisco was really outstanding in the Joe Montana years. Roy was such a big part of what we were doing. And so I feel like with what his contributions have been to the club, he's definitely deserving of being in the Ring of Honor. He's now part of our broadcast team, which I couldn't be more excited about to have him on board. And so I'm excited that we're moving forward with this, and it's been announced, and it's going to be against the Rams when we're playing them here at home. So this is going to be a fun day.
You know, he's a former teammate of mine, obviously, and now a colleague as well on the broadcast team, but he's also my brother. You know, I mean, that's what he is. How did he react? That's the reason why I asked you. When you told him, how did he react, Michael, to finding out this news?
He was emotional. He was he thought he was coming in to just have a meeting, and when I shared the news, he broke down crying, and he was you could see how much it meant to him and how important that ring is. And we're just so excited that he's in the Ring of Honor, or going to be in the Ring of Honor. And that's going to be a very special day in an era of players that sort of bridge two cities that will come back and I think celebrate with him. It's going to be an exciting day.
You mentioned the Rams here. What about going to L.A.? Are you excited about that? That is something new and innovative this year.
Couldn't be more excited about it. I think it gives a chance for the Red Sea to invade a stadium of an NFC West opponent and do it early and often, and let's start this year. It's going to be a five-hour drive over there, and it's going to be exciting for our fans to be able to just jump in a car and go see an NFC West opponent. I think it becomes an advantage for us because it used to be the furthest NFC West trip to St. Louis. Now it becomes the closest. It's drivable by our fans. I think our fans are going to show up, and it's going to be big.
I'm looking forward to the Cardinals fans not only going to Miami. I hear they're already booking that trip, but to Wolf's hometown of Buffalo. I want to see the Red Sea invade Wolf's hometown of Buffalo.
Let's do it.
That's going to be
Buffalo in September. Nothing
yes.
better.
We'll lure them with wings, Paul.
All right, Michael, thank you. Speaking of All Access, you gave us some here on the Big Red Rage. We appreciate the time and the insight.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
There you go. The team president of Michael Bidwell on the Big Red Rage. We'll be back right after this, all presented by Santan Ford.
In 1981, he led the NFC in yards per catch. In 1982, he led the team in scoring receptions. And in 1983, he led the league with 14 touchdown catches. He's the NFL's best.
Roy's been a great asset for me over the years. I remember when I first got here, now he reached out to me, and we didn't have to, and always offered his help in everything, just from, you know, off the field, on the field, and he's been a great resource for me over the years. And Roy, you're listening, man. I'm sorry about breaking your records. It's not personal. It's just business. You know, just business.
Oh, yes.
A little shot over the ball.
Classic Larry right there. Roy.
Oh, that was Larry?
That was
the second greatest receiver in Cardinal history?
Oh. Hey, you see the name?
Now, Roy, if you weren't a DB your first 2 years, you'd own all those records that under Larry's name right now. Come on now.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. You know, I've only told him about 88 times, but I would have loved to have, played my first 3 years, you know, solely as a wide receiver. You know, when I look back at it and I think that my numbers would be, you know, well, Larry would still be chasing right now, I think. But it is what it is.
This is the Big Red Rage, and that is the voice of Roy Calvin Green. Roy Jetstream Green there, Wolf, who has brand new initials right now. R-O-H. It is a pleasure to have Roy Green, Mr. Hashtag right now, R-O-Y, R-O-H, because he is the 16th member of the Ring of Honor. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's a huge, huge honor for me. You know, being part of the first National Football League team here in Arizona, you know, Wolf came along with us. We had some great inspiration when we came, what we wanted to do, what we wanted to accomplish. We didn't get it done, but that very first year, I remember how close we were to doing something special until our quarterback went down. Obviously, everyone should remember that. But this organization is more than made up for in the last few years. I go all over the country now with my chest poked out, with Cardinal Fennelly on, you know, my hat, my shirt. I even got a golf bag now with it. So I want them to know I'm a part of this.
Yeah, you know, talk a little bit about the process, what happened and what you were thinking. We had the opportunity to speak with Michael Bidwell just a little bit earlier, And I'm just imagining you, Front. I'm just imagining you walking in. You're thinking to yourself, what is going on here? I mean, take us through that process a little.
Hey, man, it's kind of funny now. I mean, it wasn't at the time. You know, I get a call, and it's like, you know, Michael wants to see you. Got a meeting, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and you know, Wolf, whenever I've been called up to the front office, it's always been a problem.
You got that right.
I've done something wrong.
He said it's
a little lighter.
Yeah. Bring your playbook.
Yeah. No. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did I do? Did I say something on the radio? What did I insult one of the producers or technicians? What the heck's going on? You know, all this stuff going through my mind. I'm like, oh, well. So when I got there and, you know, we sat down, chatted a little bit. And, man, when he told me, it was wow. Oh, jeez, man. I'm thinking about I was so overwhelmed. I just Everything went through my mind.
Was that the farthest thing you were thinking?
I mean, was.
Honestly, you weren't thinking about
had no idea, no clue. I mean,
wow.
The farthest thing from my mind. But when he told me, it was like a flashback of everything, you know, from the time I came in to, you know, great moments with teammates, just all of it. Now, you know, it was overwhelming. Really, it was. I was quite humbled by it. I was, you know, excited to get the news, but for a moment there, you know, I'm glad you and Sick Kahima wasn't in there with me. You'd have been taking out cameras and captioning it and making funny captions about how I responded.
Good thing that you're wearing those Depends. They came in handy, huh, bro?
The crying Roy Green meme, is that what would have been out there instead of the crying Jordan? Well, you heard Michael Bidwell mention that you're going to be the only member of the Ring of Honor who played both for the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Cardinals. You guys have that in common, but is there something about that transition bridging the gap, as he said, that maybe we don't realize? I mean, take us back to that time. How interesting was that? To what degree was it a challenge having to move and then,
You know what? It was a challenge, you know, for a player like myself. You know, Wolf was young then, but I had been in that community, you know, for probably 7-8 years. So, you know, I was already entrenched. I had many friends there. You know, my opportunities in business, I had a couple of things going on there. My kids were in school. So it was a very, very tough transition. But you know what? Once getting here, it was made a lot easier because I can't believe how well we were received. This community was so good. They did, you know, they went beyond the call of duty, I must say. And things were going great. You know, I enjoyed it. I've not left since then. I mean, I love this community. I like being involved. And as I said, right now is a great, great time to be an Arizona Cardinal.
Roy, you know, I have my feelings as to why you're going up onto the ring, as we call it, right? the ring of honor for the Cardinals. But why do you think you are? I mean, what were some of the things that you did that you brought to a team, you brought to a field that maybe other people aren't thinking of?
Well, I think that the thing that gets lost most is that I was drafted as a defensive back. And I actually started, you know, I started a few games my rookie year, the last four games as a defensive back, and was the pencil in starter my second year. So I played a lot of defensive back. And then the transition, I mean, you would not believe how many people. When Coach Hanifin and Emmett Thomas told me they wanted to make that change, you wouldn't believe how many people said it couldn't be done, you know, not in this era. So to be able to do that and the success I had doing it for a year and a half, like I said, no one had done it for almost 25 years. So, and a lot of young fans and people around the country, you know, we didn't have the access to media attention, social media, not even ESPN then. Mm-hmm. So not a whole lot of people outside of St. Louis knew just what I was doing. You know, I was playing probably 100 plays a game, you know, on both sides of the ball. I still played special teams my first year doing it. So, you know, I think I made quite an impact doing that. So that's one thing that I think stands out first and foremost.
Roy Green, newest member of the Cardinals Ring of Honor. How much did playing DB help you become a Pro Bowl receiver?
Without it, I don't think I could have. I mean, I tell all my guys now that I've worked with over the last few years that, you know, if I were a receiver coach now, I would send all of my receivers to defensive back meetings.
Wow.
Every time they would talk, I would have them standing there listening to what they're telling them, how to stop them, how to neutralize them so they would know, you know, how to adjust to it, how to beat it. So it was just insurmountable, the resource that was for me. Matter of fact, I saw Daryl Green not long ago, and he was talking about, man, you used to make me so mad. You line up the line of scrimmage, and I'd be up there trying to fake like I'm jamming out, and you'd say, hey, man, just go ahead and bail. I know you're not going to stay here.
Talk about
bail now.
That's a lot of speed right there.
That's a lot of speed.
Daryl Green, are you kidding me?
Believe it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Shoot, man.
Well, congratulations. What do you think, Wolf? About 3 minutes into the actual induction ceremony, week four against the Rams at home, and you'll have to break out the hanky? What do you think?
The
tears are going to be flowing.
Shoot, man, he's going to be crying.
No, I predict the other way. I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to have all my friends, like Wolf, my ex-teammates, all of them will be there. I'm sure for 2 days prior, we'll be having a ball.
Adrian Wilson is next.
What we wanted to do is we wanted to get fast and athletic. By bringing in Brandon and then in the fifth round, we went to Marquis. You know, those are a 4-3 and a 4-4 guy that like to run and hit. So we wanted to add speed and physicality in the back end, and then bringing in Branch and free agency, there's another one. So it's going to be a very athletic group. It's going to be a young group, and we're excited about it.
On the Big Red Rage a week ago, special thanks once again to hashtag R-O-Y-R-O-H. Roy Green, the 16th member of the Arizona Cardinals Ring of Honor. Why not bring in another guy who checks the not only the Ring of Honor, but if we're talking about fast and physical DBs, Wolf, I think he would check those boxes as well. Adrian
Agreed.
Wilson is alongside. Dub, what do you think? What do you think about Roy Green? You guys just cross paths there? I mean, what do you guys share when it comes to the Ring of Honor? What sort of honor is that?
I mean, I think really for him coming over from the St. Louis days, being a part of original Phoenix Cardinals, I think, you know, just having that heritage and having him up in the Ring of Honor, I think that's huge for us as an organization. But as far as what I did on the field and how both of us played and the passion that we played with for the team, I think, you know, if anything, I think that resounds around what type of player that we want to bring in here, somebody that brings passion to the game, somebody that loves the game.
You know, it wasn't the Ring of Honor thing that really got me, Dub, with you. It was the fifth Pro Bowl that you that was the thing that really got to me, right? But
both the favorite. Now our number's up there.
All right. Oh, I think that's the first time you've referred to it as our number.
Our number.
Yeah, exactly. But talk a little bit about your own emotions when you found out, because we just got done talking to Roy about that as well. And I would imagine it was an emotional time for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it was surreal. I think it was one of those things where, you know, you play your whole career and you don't never really think about that type of honor or think about, you know, if the organization is looking at you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to go out there and play for your teammates, play for the fans, and, you know, you let everything else kind of fall in place, whether it's, you know, Pro Bowl honors, All Pro, whatever it is. You know, you don't play for those types of things. So when it's all said and done and you call it up and you retire, you know, you want to have – something to feel good about, you know, that you play for the community, that you play for the organization. And when you get that type of commitment for the organization to put your name up there, I mean that means more than anything for me. I know personally, it made me feel like that I did my job as far as, you know, coming in here and showing the Cardinals what I could do as a player, but as a person, I did things the right way as well.
We saw the ceremony when you were inducted, but how emotional were you when you first heard the news?
It was some crocodile tears going, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, I never wanted to burn any type of bridge here. I knew everything was business as far as them letting me go in 2012 after that season. And, you know, it's just, you know, it was one of those things where you think back all the way to 2001, playing the Sun Devil Stadium, you know, having, you know, just one side of the stadium full. Just, you know, you think about all that stuff and, you know, it makes you emotional about it. You know, it's you know, it's one of those things where you knew that you was a main piece and to kind of turn this thing around.
Speaking of that, you can agree or disagree, Ron Wolfley, all right, yeah. Is a guy who played at Sun Devil Stadium, all right? Sure. He goes way back with his team yourself. Michael Bidwell called Roy Green sort of one of those bridge players like you were and going from St. Louis to Phoenix. Now, what if I said Adrian Wilson was the linchpin going from a team that was outside the playoff picture that perennially would compete, that when he decided to stay as a free agent when you could have taken big money elsewhere,
yep.
But you made that commitment to this organization, this team ascended from there. It built upon your commitment to stay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I never really wanted to leave. I know, you know, the dollars were big, and when you really play, it's not really about the money. Like, when you really, really plan for what you believe in as a person, what you stand on, the type of morals that you stand on, it's not really the money, because the money's always going to come and it's always going to be there if you're doing your job for that team. That team will show a commitment to you. And it's no different from Ty. You know, Ty's in a situation now where, you know, he's a passionate player. We love him here. We want him here, and he wants to be here. So the money's going to be here. You know, that's one of those things where we know that he doesn't want to leave, but we don't want him to leave.
Dub, how's the scouting going right now? It's been official now, right? You're an official scout for the Arizona Cardinals here. Your reaction to this, how's it going?
I love it, man. You know, I knew I was going to be a part of the organization in some type of way. I just needed to kind of choose which side I wanted to be on, whether it was coaching or whether it was, you know, doing the scouting thing. And, you know, being able to see both sides of it as far as college and pro, I think it helps me become a better scout overall, being able to see both sides of the picture. And, I mean, right now I'm loving it. I mean, it's one of those things where you really, really get focused in on the player and you really, really get honed in on the type of players that you want to bring here. And there's only so many. There's a lot of great players out there, but you only get, you know, 6 or 7 draft picks every year. And, you know, hopefully you can add some more through the draft process. But, you know, these guys, man, they've really taken me under their wing and showed me the way.
You better love it. You're going to put in a lot of hours. You're going to watch a lot of film. You're going to do a lot of traveling, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of that is a part of it. But, you know, for me, I don't look at it as, you know, putting in hours. I think it's more about, you know, me just going in and getting as much information as I can and giving it to the right people and making sure it's presented the right way.
We want to get the Marquee Christian story out of you when we come back, right? We need to hear about Marquee Christian. There's no doubt about that. By the way, real quick as we go to break here, Roy Green is fond of telling the story when he sees Ronnie Lott. He tells him, man, you took about 5 shots off my handicap by drilling me in the shoulder. When you see receivers now in retirement, former receivers, do they come up and complain to you about shots you put on them?
Yeah, it's always those far-off looks like, man, why you have to do me like that?
Exactly. That's what I thought. All right, it's a Big Red Rage. Adrian Wilson is our guest. Down the stretch we come, all presented by Santan Ford.
And at strong safety from North Carolina State, number 24, Adrian Wilson!
Yeah! I always want to try to make myself that guy, being the guy that's going to go out there and set the tone for the defense.
Getting blooded up a little bit, homeboy. Oh, yeah, that damn arm went numb. I gave him a stinger down there. I want to hit. That's my job description.
I always try to let my play kind of dictate to the other guys, you know, how they should go about their business.
Hey, boy, I'm going to get you. That ain't nothing, homeboy. I told you, boy.
It ain't really trash talking to me. It's making my point.
Adrian Wilson came over the top and lowered the antlers.
You've been wired in to Adrian Wilson.
Believe it.
Are you transported back to 2008 when you hear that?
I mean, it kind of made my nips a little hard right there. Had some nip action going on right there.
Oh, my. Well, that's a certain type of passion for the game. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. It is the Big Red Rage. It is Adrian Wilson, and we're all presented by Santan Ford. And I'd ask you how much you missed the game, but I guess that pretty much answers it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting, Doug, because we were talking a little bit about scouting, and one of the guys you actually brought up was Marquee Christian, right? Very interesting that Marquis Christian is a guy that is very versatile in the back end, and you had an awful lot to say about it, didn't you?
I mean, I did. I went and saw him at the NFLPA game over the spring. Got the opportunity to see him. It was first brought to my attention by John Mancini, who was actually the area guy there. So brought it to my attention, went and saw him. Great kid, just the overall great kid. Turned his tape on from last year. Great tape. Turned on the tape this year. Again, great tape.
Mm-hmm.
Everything lined up as far as, you know, as far as his personality. He loves the game. He has a passion for the game. And then all his movement skills and everything that he does as far as being a football player, it translates to what we do here as Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't really matter what type of school you go to. You know, obviously he went to a very, very small school, but his skill set and what he does on the football field definitely translates to what we want to do.
So when you see him at Midwestern State playing against that caliber of competition, that doesn't give you pause? That doesn't make you a little nervous?
No, it doesn't, because, you know, really, I mean, I'm looking at movement. I'm looking at skill set. I'm not looking to see if he's going against 5'8 receivers. You know, I don't care who he's going against. What I care about is he dominating the competition. Is he going out there and doing the things that he needs to do from a movement standpoint? That's what I was looking at. I can care less about who he was going against.
Well, he was the Cardinals' fifth-round pick, and he was there over rookie minicamp, and he had this to say about meeting Adrian Wilson himself.
I had a good day in front of Adrian at the NFLPA, and we met in the middle of the field after practice, and he just let me know he wanted to meet with me later that day. And, you know, we sat and talked for a good 15, 20 minutes about ball, just about life, and it was just a really good conversation, and me and him just really hit it off.
How do you see his job description? How do you see his role in this defense at this level?
You know, right now I think he's learning the scheme, he's learning the system, which is going to be a jolt for any rookie coming in here, mm-hmm. especially with what we do defensively. I mean, we do so many multiple things that it's going to take him, you know, into, you know, this summer and into the fall to kind of get everything underneath him where he understands everything. But, you know, he can do a myriad of things. I mean, he can play free, he can play strong, you know, he can play nickel probably. And, you know, I think he's another one of those multi-dimensional type players that you want to have out there that you can move around. And just, you know, he's another chess piece that we can put out there and make plays for us.
Dope. I'll never forget when you actually did the Big Red Rage a couple of years back, right, when you were still playing and you said that you did it because nobody thought you could. Right? You remember saying
that's
that.
That's right.
Right, Paulie?
Were you kidding or was that accurate?
Let's talk about the scouting. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Why are you in scouting, Dub?
I mean, ultimately, it's to be a GM. You know, I think, you know, a lot of players, I think, nowadays, they, you know, they're so focused in on the now. And granted, they should be. But, you know, it's so much outside of you just playing. You know, it's mentally, you have to think outside of the box, and you have to think, you know, 5-10 years down the road. And, you know, I always knew I was going to kind of be in this role, but not knowing exactly what it was going to be. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want to learn everything I can from Steve, Terry, mm-hmm. Quinn Harris, Malik Boyd, all these guys, man. They're great. They gave me a lot of information. You know, I have a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. But at the same time, I love it. And, you know, ultimately, you want to be a GM. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be that's what you want to be one day.
Have you been aired out yet? Has anyone yelled at you? Has Steve Keim just taken one of your scouting reports? You call this a scouting report? Wilson, are you kidding me? Go back to the laptop.
Yeah,
has anybody ripped you yet?
I've been the example a couple of times. But, you know, at the same time, you learn from your mistakes. You know, I think I didn't get ripped because my report was horrible. I got ripped because it was too long and detailed. Paulie, how about that?
Right. You got to get to the point.
Do you have a preference, Dub? I mean, college or pro? Because you're doing both and you're doing it on a national scale, man. It just seems like a ton of responsibility for you.
I mean, nah, I don't have a preference because I think the college side helps me become a better pro scout. Well, you know, the pro side is apples to apples. Everybody's in the league already, but the college side is a little bit more projection, what they'll be for the league overall,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what they'll be for us ultimately if we draft them. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, like I said, Steve, Terry, Q, Malik Boyd, Drew Gregson, all those guys do a heck of a job of, you know, giving me the information I need and, you know, ultimately, you know, for me to write my reports and give the information to Steve and Terry.
Who's the best rookie out of this class, 2016, 7 months from now? Who are we talking about?
Chandler Jones.
That's second round draft pick.
That's well played.
That is really so well played. Did you miss us at all? You know, forget about missing football. Did you miss the Big Red Rage?
You know what, man? You guys are great. You guys have always been
That's enough. Special
Once
thanks.
Once again, man. You know, it's great. Go ahead. Do your little thing.
I'll Jim Omohundro, Jared Carlin, Ron Wolfe, Paul Kevin. Dub, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dub.
Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let go!
And by Bud Light, the perfect beer for living life by your own playbook. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.